Early voting is still ongoing. We are getting into the second week of early voting now. Still record pace for early voting numbers in Orange County. And for the last couple of days, Chapel of the Cross has been the heaviest trafficked early voting site of the five in Orange County. That is a shift from earlier in the week, and it's also a shift from previous early voting periods, typically Carrboro Town Hall, Seymour Center. Now it's Chapel of the Cross, which indicates pretty high excitement about the race from students at UNC. There was an event earlier this afternoon. Chancellor Carol Folt was there to help get out the vote, as was Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and she joins us now still with the I voted early sticker on.
I voted.
Very good.
Yay.
So how was it earlier today?
It was a good event today. It was fun. The students walked March from the pit over, and we had lots of people there to cheer them on and to talk about how wonderful it is. And I want to build on that. So excited to get students to vote. I said, that is the voice that the state doesn't normally hear from during elections. And your voice matters. Every voice matters. But when you don't hear from that age range of about 18 to 28 years of age, then we're not actually reflecting people who live in our state. And I say our state's changing in wonderful, diverse ways. And I want those diverse voices to come out and vote. And it does matter.
And people look at the demographics, too, especially policymakers, when they look at who their constituents are. They look at turnout numbers and they see, you know, senior citizens tend to vote at a much higher rate than students do. So student voices, a lot of times, don't get as much cred among policymakers, and we can change that by just getting students to the polls a little bit more.
Yes, we can. And if you can come vote, even if you live in a different district and you want to vote here instead of doing absentee, we welcome that. You can do that during early voting. You can register and vote at the same time or get your absentee ballot. It's not too late. It's close, but it's not too late to get it. And they will send you, my kids got theirs in like 2 days. So it's great. Get those votes in as well.
So how many people were there today?
I was voter number 5,260, but I think that's a cumulative total.
Right, yeah. Not all today, but I mean at the event today.
I'd say we had a good 60 people there. Nice. Who were there for all kinds of different reasons, but it has been a heavy voter turnout. A lot of people who live in the downtown area or who are near there are finding it a good place to pop in to vote because it's not a line. Even though we've had a great turnout, it's been a steady flow, so there's no line. Just come on in. You can park in the Moorhead Planetarium and just come on in or walk over, like I did from the town hall.
Sounds good. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger again, that early voting event was earlier today at Chapel of the Cross. Early voting continues through Saturday, November 5th, and five early voting sites in Orange County. And if you're an Orange County resident, you can go to any one.
Yes.
If you're a student, the Chapel of the Cross is right there, but you can also go down the road to Carrboro Town Hall, up the road to the Seymour Center, Board of Elections Office, Eflin-Raritan Club, and anywhere you can go in Orange County.
So it is easier for our students at UNC to vote at Chapel of the Cross early because, unfortunately, the way the system works, then they're sent to five different polling places on election day, and it's very confusing, and they have a harder time. So take the opportunity, walk over to Chapel of the Cross, and cast your ballot.
And if you haven't registered to vote yet, you can register and vote on the same day, so
that.
Very convenient there,
good.
Too.
It's, and we had a voting rally on Saturday that was well attended, too, at Carrboro Town Hall. We had a lot of electeds out there cheering people on, and it was a really great event.
So you voted today, though. You went to Carrboro Town Hall and resisted temptation because today was your second one.
Well, it wasn't resisting temptation, but I had to leave because I had to do my practice for the Children's Philharmonia.
Oh, that's right. How did that go?
It was really good. It was well attended. It was packed audience. It was a lot of fun. Beautiful pieces of music. Symphony did an amazing job. They had to work with someone who's not good at reading music, and we worked it all together. But they helped me practice to get it to be a better performance. And so it was a really fun. And then the kids got to help conduct at the end to the Harry Potter theme and the Star Wars theme. It was a beautiful day. And it was just they had the doors open, and it was a lovely event.
Awesome. So speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and what else is going on
in town? So earlier today, I was at Project Connect, which is over at our Hargraves Center. And that's to connect people who are homeless or in danger of being homeless to get services from our community, and talking to all the people who are cutting hair there and doing some podiatry work and are a nutrition specialist, and you could have lunch and you could connect with people to find out about what services the county and the town and the nonprofits have to offer. And we had record numbers over there today as well. Over 175 people had come so far when I was was over there, and it was still going on when I left, and that's amazing compared to the spring where we didn't have as high a turnout, but there was a lot of good work going over there and a lot of camaraderie and people wanting to help each other and be involved. And talking to some people cutting hair, so they'd never done this with us partnered before, and that they found it very uplifting and excited that the town does such an event. Town, county, and nonprofits, not just
that's
town.
That's cool. And so it's Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness that sort of spearheads the event. So yes. Are they, the organizers of the event, are they happy to get a higher turnout?
Oh, yes.
The downside of that is that more people...
Well, I think more
there
people...
There are people who need it.
There are people who need it, and that's the goal.
Right.
People who need it, let's get them connected with services. And since we've been holding it every year, there's some people who come to know that that's where they can come get information. Mm-hmm. You may not be homeless yet, but you may be thinking about what your next steps are and what opportunities are out there. And we want people to come talk to our providers to find out what opportunities they are, because we don't want anyone talking to a young man who's sleeping on the streets right now. We don't want that. We want you to have a path towards not having to sleep on the streets. So, yes.
All right. So that was earlier today, and that ended at, what, 2-something, I think, like
3.
That?
It 3. Was from 9 to 3.
9 to 3, yeah.
And it was early at Friends of Downtown meeting this morning.
Yes.
And talking about all the changes going on downtown. So Rosemary Street's quite torn up right now.
Is it now?
Oh. So we all learned a new word called milling, which is when you dig up the street. And unfortunately, that work had to be done at night, and it was rather noisy. And we're just asking everyone to be patient again. It's noisy, but that's what you have to do when you resurface and you want it to remain in good condition. It has to adhere. You have to dig those ruts, and that's called milling. And it's noisy and smelly, and it takes a while. But the night work is done.
Okay.
We can move forward from that. And we'll be wrapping up the whole project sometime by the beginning of December. It won't be as noisy going along, but some of the street lights are getting put in now. The sidewalk's almost all finished. And then we're going to start putting the trees in, and the striping will go back on. And you're going to just, everyone's going to be much happier with the final project. But it's blocking off traffic. It's making downtown passage a little harder to get through.
And I know there's no right answer to this question, because you do it at night, and then there's people living in Shortbread who, especially if they're studying for exams, are the next day, and then 2:00 in the morning, they're complaining, and then you try to move it up a little bit earlier in the evening, and people are trying to drive home from work if they're getting out at 6 or 7 or so, and then they're getting stuck in traffic. So is there a sweet spot in the early to late evening where I know Roger Stansel and Lance Norris were working on
we were working with the Shortbread management as well. It's just hard because you have to close the street down in certain sections to do that, and when you have high volumes of traffic with buses and everything else going on, you have to sort of pick your window of opportunity. But also the big trucks have to bring the stuff, I don't even know what to call it, that stuff, so you don't want to be spreading around, and you can't have cars driving by when that's going on. They could get tar and goo on. It would just be a huge mess. So unfortunately, some of this work has to be done at night. Just like at Carolina Square, they had to do some things at night because they couldn't bring those gravel trucks in. It's not safe to do it during the day. So we do apologize. And I've had citizens very distressed about the closure of Ephesus Church Road. We're still talking about that. That will start on next Tuesday. My wedding anniversary. And we're trying to get all those things set up with the detours and traffic calming in the neighborhoods, because this is going to be inconvenient for a lot of people.
But for about a month and a half.
It's temporary.
Right?
Yep. And it's going to really, really help those households and families that are flooding out in the Colony Woods area. We need to fix that. And this is going to help drastically in fixing those kinds of situations.
Have you gotten any feedback from community members? Because I know we talked about this last week.
Yes.
And it was that super short notice, and then the town worked with the DOT and got a pushback a little bit, so it wasn't going to start right away. You got a little bit of a week delay. Was there sort of positive, negative feedback? Are people still concerned? Were they happy for the little bit of an advance notice?
They're happier for the advance notice. They don't like that they have
still
to...
Still not
we've
thrilled
got some
about
definite,
it, right.
More definite information, too, about that you can go straight across Tinkerbell, so people in the Colony Woods area can cut across Tinkerbell over to Breckliffe, back out again to get to the school, so people don't have to go... That live in those neighborhoods don't need to go all the way back out to Pope Road and around 15501. And I think that was the concern, is there's no way for us to get there. Well, there is. So people are starting to calm down. It will take you longer. We do want you to be respectful when driving through neighborhoods. People live there. People are walking to schools there. People are walking pets. And there aren't sidewalks in those neighborhoods. So we just need to be very respectful when coming through and come to complete stops, those kinds of things. So
there was a town council meeting last night. What was discussed there?
So we had a meeting last night. The first thing on the agenda was the closure of Porthole Alley and hearing all of the university plans for that whole corridor in there, and talking about how to make it better, more welcoming, but also taking pedestrian and bicycle safety into account. They will be reducing seeing. So Porthole Alley itself is going to be closed to vehicular traffic.
So which one's Porthole Alley?
It's the one between the Carolina coffee shop and the bank building on the other side, which are both owned by the university.
Is that the one with the mural on the side?
Yes,
Oh, that's right. I was talking with Meg McGurk about that. I can't remember how long ago, but she was really excited about
this. So
from my understanding, there used to be
a restaurant there called Porthole.
Okay.
And that served through the whole lovely buns and coffee and all kinds of stuff. I mean, back in the day. So it's always retained the name Porthole Alley, even though that's actually technically to the side where that office was, and that's called Fraternity Row there. But there aren't any fraternities on there, so everyone's just referred to as Porthole Alley.
All right.
Anyway, there'll be an entrance made from South Columbia into those parking spots for those business owners that owns property there for their deliveries, for their cars. They're already doing that now, but they come up Porthole Alley and they go out Porthole Alley, and so that road's not wide enough for two-way traffic, and people are walking and oblivious to cars. So the other one will come in as a two-lane, and it will have traffic calming and parking, and they're reducing the number of parking spots back there to reduce the number of trips in and out. So
okay.
And
so.
Then greening it up. They took down the annex building. They're having more green spaces and more green rooms, as we call them, which is outdoor places for people to be.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because that alley right now is mostly just paved over, right?
Yeah, it's going to be brick, and it's going to look nicer, but
awesome.
It's just going to be more pedestrian-friendly, so people won't have to worry as they're coming on and off Franklin Street.
Do we know what the time frame is on
so
when
they should
done?
Start next month, and
okay.
they hope to be finished by April.
Okay,
the goal
awesome.
Is to be done before graduation, so they're working towards that goal.
Very cool.
So that was on the agenda, and then we moved on to the town hall task force is on there, and this is a task force that I've helped put together for people just to study if it's possible to move our visitor center and our historic museum and the historic preservation and whatever else into the old town hall as it transitions from the community kitchen being there, which the IFC has been interested in combining the community kitchen with their pantry to serve more people all at the same place.
That's the Carborough issue, right?
And their timeline, they had told us, was 18 months to 2 years. We just wanted to be ready with what ifs. So that's why we're studying it. Could we do this? How much would it cost? That building is a historic building, but it's not in very good shape. So we have people together from the county and the town and the town staff and some community representatives just thinking about this and talking it through to see if it would work.
Okay.
So that they'll report back next May so that we can have a better understanding if it's even a possibility.
And that's at the corner of Rosemary and Columbia,
yes,
right? That building right on the
left.
That's
the old town hall where the jail was, where the fire station was, where the town management was long ago. So that
all
was
right.
on there too. And then I was going to say something else that happened
you
on
had
here,
a,
the campaign contributions.
Oh, yeah,
I'll
yeah, campaign
right
contributions,
sorry.
Yeah.
So we have an ordinance that requires us to adjust the limits on our campaign contribution maximums and for how much an individual can contribute. It's based on a mathematical equation, and we are going to take a look at that equation because we think it may have some things that need changing. But for now, the amount has been upped from $336 per individual to $353, I believe is the number. And the maximum is up to $34 that you can remain anonymous in your donation. So that's what we put out there for now, because we were required to do it in an even year, so we needed to get it done before the end of the year. But there is discussion about how that mathematical equation could grow exponentially is the right
okay.
term. And that was not the intention. The intention was to make sure that our local elections stay more local in nature and that they aren't subject to winds. And as you're seeing, all the money spent on all these campaigns right now with all the, I think, horrific TV ads.
Yes. It's one of those times of the year when I'm just so happy that I don't have cable and I get all of my media from the internet, and I can if the ad comes up, I can just close out that window and reopen it and try
again.
So
I will tell you, if you have not early voted, one really good side effect of early voting is you get taken off all those lists for the phone calls.
That's nice.
For the people coming door to door, because those lists, they take the updated list. They're not going to spend their time contacting you anymore because you've already voted. And they get those updated lists every evening. So I had someone show it to me that they knocked on my door because my husband had voted, but I had not.
Oh,
and
interesting.
So, so now they're like, if you don't want any
talk
more
about
phone
an incentive
calls,
to
it's
go
a
and
great
early
incentive.
Vote.
So go early vote and you will avoid all the phone calls that are
like
happening
it.
Right now,
right.
which will only get more intense as we get closer to election day. But again, they're not going to waste the time calling you if you've already cast your decide.
Sounds
you've already
good.
Decided. So that's
right.
going on with that.
So what else is happening in town?
So we are celebrating this weekend, and we did a proclamation graduation, which was, I thought, wonderful, celebrating 50 years of desegregation in our school system. There's going to be a celebration on Saturday at the Northside Elementary starting at 3, and I'll read the proclamation again to a group of citizens who are coming together who, it was fascinating. In 1966, it was the first integration of part of Lincoln High School students elected to go to Chapel Hill High. I think I don't have the numbers here, like 15 of them went over to Chapel Hill High and were integrated into the school system, and the rest of the group stayed at Lincoln to finish their education there, and then all the schools were melded together after that. But 50 years, we've come a long way. We still have a ways to go. But we've come a long way, and it's something to really celebrate. And there's a lot of alumni back for those celebrations, and so we're excited to have them in town, and we will be there on Saturday. Meanwhile, we did have our race and policing forum on Monday night.
Yep.
I really, really am proud of our community that we're having these conversations. We want to change how we view we talked about biases. We talked about institutional racism. We talked about what it feels like, depending on the color of your skin, your interaction with authority. We talked about people's rights and our police forces working towards these things of when you're stopped, that we tell you why we stopped you. We tell you the steps, and so that you're not that you're not already put on alert. You know you've been stopped, but why have you been stopped? Well, your taillight was out. And if you feel like you're not being treated in the way you think, you can always lodge a complaint, come through. We do take those seriously. We do look through them. We do keep records. We also keep records on all kinds of things so that our supervisors have the opportunity to talk with each of their employees every month. It will show up if someone's treating certain groups of people certain ways so that we can make sure that we're not doing it that way. There is bias going on, and we're learning how to work through that and how to make that so that we're respectful of all people and we're not singling out certain groups. I mean, that's not the intention. And I would say all of our police officers would tell you that's not the intention. But if that still ends up being the result, then we have work to do. And I will tell you, the entire council has elected to go to diversity training. We're not doing it all at the same time. So everybody's we have a large group of us going in November. And we want to learn how to do this better and how to include more voices.
That's good.
I also met with the chairs and vice chairs of all the advisory boards on Monday for a breakfast. We had a give and take session. It was fascinating to hear. And we also expressed this need for diversity on our boards. We want to hear from multiple voices. Multiple voices and multiple perspectives give us the best outcomes. We need to make sure. And so that was a really good dialogue. And they expressed some things that they were looking for that they need from the town and from the council to feel more successful in the work they're doing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and we got to let you go in a second,
okay.
But I got Halloween coming up.
Yes,
want to wrap up with that?
Homegrown Halloween on
Monday. Homegrown Halloween, yes.
Starting earlier, families welcome. We're going to be closing down part of Franklin Street.
I know the police are hoping dozens of people show up for it.
No, we're trying to reduce numbers as we go there. We want everyone to be safe, but we want them to have a good time. Do you know my son will be in a 7'5" giraffe costume, so that should be interesting. People do like to dress up. It's
I kind of hope we're able to spot him, because otherwise that will be a very interesting Halloween.
It's going to be a good Halloween.
Right.
But we welcome families downtown. We welcome everyone, but we're trying not to make it. We're trying to stop the buses coming in from other parts of the country, basically, to celebrate with us. We would like to have it more homegrown.
All right,
so it should be a nice evening, too, and it is on a Monday night. So people are confused. Are we doing it Saturday? No, we're doing it on
Monday.
Doing
it on Halloween,
Halloween
always.
As always. There we go.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, thank you so much.
Take care.